Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum issue 89. My name is Mike. I've got Kane right next to me. We're here on our post-Halloween episode, so hopefully you guys had a great Halloween. We did see some pictures last night from some of the listeners that posted some of the parties they were at. Thank you guys for doing so. We had a blast last night doing a watch-along to Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I don't know about Kane, but I know for me it's like one of my favorite Halloween movies. It's one of my musts.
Yeah, I was fun last night. A lot of costume changes, a lot of weirdness going on. Chat room was going nuts last night.
Yeah, actually, I had a couple of conversations with a few listeners that actually they had a little their own little like private watch along parties themselves, which was kind of like the whole concept of it. We had one person that had a friend of theirs who was visiting for the weekend, and they had never seen Rocky Horror, so they got to experience it with us.
Oh, that's very
so,
nice.
Yeah, so they were
in the archives. They can see us watching Rocky Horror.
Yeah, but they were able. Yeah, so yeah, if you guys go back into just yesterday on the 31st, we will. You can definitely see our watch along for that, as well as today we dropped today live for you guys listening on Monday. We did already drop our final episode on our sister station for sister channel for Midnight Movies. We dropped what was our final show? Final movie?
House of a Thousand Corpses.
That's right. Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie. His first directorial debut, which some consider his best. But I think he's done some better ones. First Halloween and a couple other ones he's done pretty well. So.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed it. I didn't tell you this because I didn't want to make you feel weird about it, but I'd never seen the movie before. That was my first time watching it.
Really?
Yeah. So
we kind of bookended the movies of the month. Like, you'd never seen the remake of Halloween, right? Like House of a Thousand Corpses. Okay.
Yep. So, and that's kind of what we do when we do those. You know, sometimes we want to watch something that we've never seen before, get somebody to experience something new. And we are going to be, guys, make sure you do take a look on our Facebook page. I haven't gotten a chance to post it on anything else yet, but we are going to be starting a holiday/Christmas, because there are like holiday movies that don't fall under the Christmas umbrella that they're building up to it. So we're putting out a list where we're asking for your suggestions first on what is your favorite Christmas holiday movie. And then what we're going to do is we're going to break it down to we're slowly drifting away from the watch longs. We're still going to do the watch longs, but we're going to start adding more like movie reviews, and we want to have those selections in there. So that'll give us something more to look forward to. I mean, I know I've got my one movie I want to watch. I know Kane has. Yeah, I think he said we have to watch Die Hard.
Oh,
so,
got to.
So
that's
I know
not even an argument. That
I know that's in there. But there's so many. Bad Santa. The new one, the one I think is falling into a new classic for me is the Christmas Chronicles just drew a blank.
Is it Kurt Russell?
Yeah, Kurt Russell. Thank you.
Yeah, and then the new one's supposed to come out, I believe, this
December.
Yeah,
that's what, so this one's coming. The second one's coming out. So, I mean, looks fun. So, I mean, there's so many ones, and we want to start doing reviews so we can give you guys like something, a nugget of something that we're liking or we dislike, and give you guys something to talk about throughout the week as well.
Yeah, conversation pieces.
But yeah, unfortunately, by the way, we have to start this off on a sad note for this. We don't do these that often, luckily, but we haven't had a passing in a while. This one's a pretty big passing on Halloween Day, in fact, from Sean Connery, passing away at the age of 90. He passed away at a home in Nassau, the Bahamas, and just passed away in his sleep. Today, actually, his wife came out and spoke about that he had been battling with dementia for the last few years. It's the king of the Bond movies. I mean, you ask a generation, and not just a generation, a few generations will tell you that that's their Bond. I know Kane's always talked about, how his dad, the Sarge, that's his Bond. I think my stepfather's on that balancing area of Bond to Moore, because it was kind of in that range. But yeah, a huge impact in the movie world when you think of just the movies he's been in.
He's been in tons of
movies.
Stuff.
Oscar nominated and Oscar, won Oscars. I think his biggest Oscars were from a supporting actor, in The Untouchables.
Old Irish retired cop that came out of retirement to stop Al Capone, and He did a couple other ones in the early 70s, which I don't have in front of me.
His movie list is
it's extremely long.
But you know, most people remember him. I enjoyed his resurgence with like Hunt for Red October, Russia House, The Rock. You know, those were some of the great ones. We got to see him, you know, play. I think my first experience to where I became a Sean Connery fan was in The Highlander.
Yeah.
You know, as Ramirez. That was where I got my first experience. And one of my favorite movies, and also one of the reasons why he sort of left, was, you know, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Forced him to retire. Yeah. That was so bad. Oh, God.
That wasn't the reason why he was offered movies.
No, it wasn't the reason, but that's like, kind of like my
that was just so bad.
It was like the straw that broke. He's like, "Watch, screw this crap. I'm done." Like, yeah.
No, you know, he was offered other movies. He was actually offered Gandalf for Lord of the Rings, but he didn't understand the script. He said, you know, he was also, you know, looking for, you know, a few other roles of, you know, in The Matrix and things like that. So he was offered the roles. He just didn't feel they were right, and so unfortunately, his swan song was League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and then also Finding Foster, that came out 2 years after League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That was the indie film. You're the man now, dog.
But yeah, that's that was his last one. And again, it's just an illustrious career, you know, ranging from everything. I know he's had a few controversial moments in his life, but he being an actor from that genre and that generation. He was just very stubborn and strong-willed. I mean, you really get to it. I know a lot of the generations now have some issues with how Bond is or, you know, was in the theater, you know, movies.
Oh, come on.
Even I get a little like, well, that's kind of a
stretch.
No, I mean, when you really look at what Bond was back then, he was truly the biggest sexist out there. Like, I just watched Dr. No today, and he walks into this room and just starts playing with a girl's hair and rips her towel off. I mean, just like that.
Whoa.
And they've literally met minutes beforehand. I was like, well, okay, well, that's, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. There's that level of it. But again, it's I know we hate to use that excuse. It was the generation. They didn't know any better. But it was. And again, it's one of those conversations that everybody's been having greatly, you know, recently about, you know, Bond being, you know, changing what Bond is. And that's part of Bond is that sexist side of him. But yeah, he's wrong at what he does, but that's just what he is.
Yeah, that's part of the character, man. It's been that way from the Ian Fleming novels to the movies to basically the video games, everything. I mean, changing that's basically changing the character as a whole. I don't see them doing that. Like making James Bond a pacifist. You can't make James Bond a pacifist.
No.
So it that was part of the time, but I just don't see that, you know, going away. It's like I said, it's part of him. You can't make that go away. Another thing on Sean Connery, which I always discovered from the ladies' point of view, is one of the few guys that he actually, when he got older, he got more attractive, according to some women.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've heard. Like,
The ladies that like Sean Connery.
Love young Sean, and they love older Sean too. I don't know something about that voice for me.
It's the voice. It's the accent. Yeah, it's everything. Sam. Sam from Big Lebowski.
Oh, Sam Houston.
Yeah, no, not Sam Houston.
Why did I say Sam?
I don't
Sam know. Sam something. Sam Hughes? The hell, Sam?
I don't know. Sam Elliott. Sorry about
Sam
that.
Sam Elliott. Yeah. Sam Houston. I think Sam Houston was a TV show.
And then we cannot forget about in Sean's career. He has done some great movies, and he has done some interesting movies. If nobody has seen Zardoz. Yeah, that's a interesting one. Him with a mustache, long ponytail, and basically a red S&M outfit with black go-go boots on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, a very interesting movie. If nobody has gotten a chance to see it, check it out. It's done by the director was John Borman, and John Borman's a pretty famous director out there. Actually, if anybody's familiar with Ewan McGregor, and he does his motorcycle rides around the world or up and down around, it's John Borman's son, Charlie Borman. Is who Ewan does.
Oh, I didn't
trips
know that
with.
Was
yeah.
his son.
Yeah, that is his son. So,
FYI.
Yeah, a little, you know, fifth degree or sixth degree or whatever you want to call it. But if nobody's ever gotten a chance to check out Zardoz, do yourself a favor. It is, you know, foray into science fiction, and it's quite interesting just for the the outfit choices, just the world itself. It's quite fun.
And while you're on that note, you know, throw in Highlander Part 2 as well. Just to bookend it.
Okay, man, we're trying to show honor to the man. Don't take up all of his bad dirty laundry there. Oh, planet size. But so yeah, we're gonna just take a quick little few seconds for Sean Connery. You know, he will be missed. He has not been around for a while doing stuff, but just the fact that he was always there was kind of a heartwarming thing to me. So, all right, Kane. So do you have anything that you you came across this week that you found interesting?
I came across a couple things. Yeah? That's interesting. A couple things. I know that Clive Barker and HBO, well, Clive Barker, he's the creator of the Hellraiser franchise, or did he write the Hellraiser franchise? I'm not sure.
Don't believe. Yeah, I think Clive. Yeah, Clive was the author for those. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he's teaming up with HBO. Apparently, they're bringing back Hellraiser. I'm not sure. I guess it's going to be a reboot of the movies. I'm not going to sure if they're going to dive deeper into his novels and actually do it more accurately. But he signed on with HBO Max, and so I guess Hellraiser's coming back. Hellraiser's been around for a long time. It's been very popular, especially in the cons. If you've ever been to any of the cons, you see a lot of people dressed up as Pinhead. Comic books of Pinhead are out there. Clive actually goes to a ton of the cons, you know, even the bigger ones, and he's always talking about, yeah, I got something in the works. Could be like a new Hellraiser. Could be a TV show. Could be a movie. And now it's for certain that he signed up with HBO, and some form of Hellraiser is coming to HBO Max. No release dates or anything, but yeah, I think it's kind of cool that it's coming back, especially like an old time director in the horror genre like Clive, and seeing him still doing some
stuff. Well, hopefully he's bringing back, I mean, he is up there in age, so hopefully what he's doing is he's bringing back the story and doing the producing, and then finding maybe finding some fresh young faces, the Blumhouse kind of care, you know, kind of group,
yeah,
and bringing them in and do like what they did for the first season of Mandalorian, and what they're doing now is it's a continuing story, but they have different good high profile directors just coming in doing one episode and leave one episode, and hopefully they'll continue that. I think that'll be a good idea for them to do that, you know, on HBO Max.
Yeah, keeping on that thread, I would love it if they would do something like the Mandalorian vibe. That'd be awesome. I mean, the way Mando has done it, it's just smooth and effortlessly. Mm-hmm. You can't even you could tell when a director is doing an episode.
There's certain elements you'll notice that are different.
Yeah, but it's not something drastic, you know. It's just like a whole smooth plane. That's what I've enjoyed so far about Mando and in season two so far, what I've seen. But it's good news to see Clive still doing some things. But yeah, like you said, he is up there in age. I don't think he's going to be doing a lot of, you know,
it's getting out there doing that daily grind on the set.
I could see him like, you know, hey, you know, you might want to do this. Maybe like, you know, a couple suggestions. Kind of like how John Carpenter is on Halloween now.
Right.
You know, he's not doing a lot. His son and the other guy from that band are doing more of the music now, but he's there. So he's almost like the Yoda, you know, hey man, what do you think about this? What could we do here? Well, I might want to add like something like this or that. And I don't know.
Well, why do all your directors sound like George Lucas?
I don't know. I just stopped myself. Why do I sound like George Lucas?
Why are you sounding like Kermit again? What I would hope for is they do a Hellraiser crossover with Eraserhead and make it Hell or Eraserhead.
Which Eraserhead are you talking about? We're talking about the David Lynch Eraserhead?
Of course. Is there any other one? If there is, I'm sorry.
There's like a low budget movie called Eraserhead. No. So I'm wondering.
Then they don't count. Sorry.
Okay. It literally was about a dude who had like a head of like an Eraserhead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I asked.
So what do you think about the announcement with Oscar Isaac taking over possibly the Moon Knight role?
The first thing I thought about was, do you remember the movie? Oh, man, I can't think. I'm going to give you the premise, and maybe you'll be able to get the title. It was a movie about, like, a robot. I think what's-her-name from Tomb Raider's in it. And I think Donald Gleason's in it, too. Is it Automica? It's basically about this robot that he's building in a version of a female, and it starts coming back to – it's almost, like, very human in its mannerisms and all that stuff. Yeah, and you think that Donald Gleason's going to end up getting with the robot at the end, but that doesn't happen, but – no, when I heard about him being Moon Knight, I kept thinking of that character in that movie, because I kept thinking like the mannerisms of Max Spector. I'm like, well, which version are they going to go with? Are they going to go with like, you know, the Egyptian god version, you know, a Kush?
I think they're going to go with a mix.
Or are they going to go with the Max personality one?
I think they'll go with the mix. One of them will be Kush. And kind of like what they've been doing. The movie's not out yet, but we can see it in the trailers of Wonder Woman 84. We got both versions of Cheetah. And I think the smart thing to do when you have too many versions of a certain character, melt them together and make a mixture of it. Make it be that this guy does have multiple personalities, but one of them truly is a god. The others are just strange, but you don't realize it. Make it a psychological thriller in that aspect, because that's something being introduced more into the dark side of Marvel. That's what you really want. You want that psychological thriller like we got with Hellstrom.
Yeah.
You know, that's Marvel's not shying away from attempting something like that. So Moon Knight being that middle ground of, yes, he's a known character. He does fall into the superhero role, but he still lives in that dark realm.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, and again, Isaac's no stranger to Marvel characters. Or you know, everybody forgets about it. He was Apocalypse. You know,
I think that because that awful makeup job.
Well, it wasn't awful. It was,
but it wasn't his fault. There were moments in that film that he looked kind of cool. I
wouldn't have wanted that. I wouldn't have wanted the original. That wouldn't have looked right real to me.
I just think he's more of an imposing character. He is not supposed to be the same size. But that's just me. It's nitpicking. I'm not afraid of this Apocalypse. I could beat him up.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
I don't want that feeling when I go.
You got creeped out when we were watching House of a Thousand Corpses. Really? You think you can go after Apocalypse?
I would take him out, man. I'll put him in like a full Ouija arm bar. He's done.
Okay.
Yeah, he's dead. No. I want to be intimidated, and I wasn't intimidated by him. But it's not his fault. That's the way it was constructed. As you would say, it's not his fault. That's the way the character was. So
again, we got what we got in that film. Yeah. I was happy with how he utilized it. So that's all. That's, you know, that's where I'm at with that.
I was kind of thinking about Legion also. Legion. Another, it was done by Fox, but a Marvel property.
But it's still Marvel property, yeah.
Yeah, and I was kind of thinking, like, if they could somehow do a hybrid of that with a little bit of Hellstrom in it, you mix those two in together and get, like, you know, you cherry pick all the good parts and put it in, you could have a really cool Moon Knight series.
You could, again, but you still...
Really? I mean, I'm not sure they're going to go that way.
Yeah, because you still want it. You have to realize... Legion got canceled for a reason. It didn't have the viewership because it didn't.
No, it didn't get canceled. It was done after 3. That was the way the story
was that what they said?
Okay. Yeah, that was Noah Hawley. Yeah, he said that was the way it was written.
Okay. Again, but I know the ratings weren't that great on it, to be honest.
No, the ratings were. It's a niche kind of show.
It's very extreme, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, you don't want to do that to your characters. You don't want to make it so niche that you alienate the rest. And this being on Disney Plus. It's definitely going to be, you know, it's not going to be as dark. That's why I said Hellstrom, would be a little bit better.
It won't be Legion or Hellstrom, I
don't think. I think it should take more from Hellstrom, though. That's why I brought that up when I was making that comment. I think.
Oh, did you finally finish Hellstrom?
Not completely now. I forgot.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you finish it first?
I've got other things to do, sir.
You were watching The Last Starfighter today. You couldn't put a couple of Hellstrom episodes in there?
No, I was mixing.
What's going on?
I was mixing our show. I had two shows to mix today, so sorry about that. I was a little busy with my time. But what else you got?
The first look at what's it called, Jessica or Livery? I got it here. Hold on, Levica. Jessica Levica,
new Batwoman.
They had her first look at her in the Batwoman costume since she replaced Ruby Rose. I saw it this week. And they showed it before from like far away, but they actually have a full, like, you know, glamour shot of her now as Batwoman. And I guess some of the complaints online, she's got the curly hair. I'm like, that's not what bugged me. Actually, nothing really bugged me about this, which is probably going to shock you. Yeah. I actually dug it.
Did you?
Yeah, I actually did. I actually like the curly hair that didn't bug me. The Batmobile a couple weeks ago, that bugged me. But like her gauntlets are kind of red. It was actually kind of cool. They kind of like kept the same aesthetic of Ruby's Batsuit, and they kind of added some new things to it too. So I'm like, it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean they said what they changed in the suit was more to match her personality. It's kind of the things that they were saying about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a little weird about the hair. Not that it was Afro-Froey hair or anything like that, but Batwoman has a red wig. She does it to cover who she is. That's part of the costume. It's Clark's got his, you know, his glasses, you know. So it's one of those things that it's there to protect your person, you know, your secret identity. And I think that's going to kind of throw a little, just like it was just weird for me. That's all.
It took me back for a couple seconds, but then I looked at it. I was like, it's not awful. I mean, I thought it was going to be worse than that, to be honest. I thought it was going to be like, you know, a full like a bun or something. I don't know what I was thinking, but. for what I got, I was like, you know, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. And usually I poo-poo a lot of stuff like that. But in this case, I was like, you know, not bad. Well done. I mean, we're going to have to see it in action, how she is as the character. Because I know that the Batwoman show got pushed back but a couple weeks. It was supposed to come out somewhere in January. Now it's getting, like, late February now. But, yeah, so they're filming now. And I want to see her in action and see what she does with the role. See if she embraces it or if she tanks. So we'll find out soon enough. But as far as the suit goes and what the way she looked, I dug it. So pretty cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Speaking of filming beginning again, we have news of two movies starting, both in the same world. In the Marvel world, we had news that Christian Bale did show up for on set for Love and Thunder. Got over to, I guess, into Australia where they're filming it at. And then we got news, and of course it just dropped on me. Hold on, never mind. There it is.
You got it there?
Yeah, no, Jacob Batone.
Batone?
Batone. The sports Batone. A new look in arriving on set for Spider-Man 3.
Oh, Ned. Okay.
Yeah, Ned. Yeah,
Ned. All right. Yeah, I saw that. He lost a lot of weight.
I mean, you're now, he's now a star. I mean, you got to realize he is now on the, you know, as part of the Marvel universe, and you want to look better. Same thing happened to what's her name from Cobra Kai, and you know, I thought it was kind of rude that they're not gonna invite her back for season 3.
I forgot her name. Yeah,
she lost a lot of weight for you know, and that's great of them. You know, you want your actors to be healthy and to want to be doing this, but don't fault them because you hired them as the chubby actor and they're not chubby anymore. Put that into the character's role. Put it into that the character has changed. You know, he's that character has now, you know, become stronger and wants to be better for them. You know, it's still one of those little Hollywood things that goes on that really kind of bugs me. You know,
I've never understood that. And they actually made fun of it in Far From Home. If you remember, like one character, like at this time was like a little fat kid, and then they come back and then he's like this big, strong jock type.
Well,
guy,
they weren't making fun of that. That was because they hadn't seen him since the snap. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
The kid was now a senior, and you know, and they're like, oh well, you were this. We remember you as this little kid, and now you're here. Yeah, that's what that was from. That was because of the snap.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that was. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's one of those reasons I'm on the fence with Mr. Ray Fisher about the Hollywood things that have happened with him on set, because I hear things like that about, you know, the people going, oh, well, these guys were heavy set and they've lost weight and they're, you know, then they're it's costing them their job or they're not being brought back or something. And then I hear the whole Fisher thing, and I know you're a Wheaton fan. I'm a Wheaton fan too. But then at the same time, like I said, I'm on the fence. Is then I don't hear anybody else saying those things. And then it's weird. He'll blast something on social media and then he'll turn around and go, well, I heard about it happening.
Yeah, I'm like, it's almost like he's getting to that crying wolf part now. He really is. It's like at the beginning I was like, oh damn. I mean when you first hear something like that, like, wow, okay, well, it's been done around sets, but he's blowing it up now. Like, well, we gotta take notice, and then he has some people backing up. But now it's getting to a point where it's like, okay, Ray, you know, you are on the reshoots now. I mean, maybe we should just let this go.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, it's like just it's done. That movie came out. It was crap for what it was. You're getting to do the reshoots now, the Snyder Cut. You should be focused on that. And then after that, maybe you get some roles out of this. Who knows? And just go forward, man. Stop thinking of the negativity. And like, I want to bring this to the highlight. You know, I get it. You know.
Well, yeah, we definitely want to hear about it because we've.
I do want to hear about it. I do, but it's
with everything.
I don't want to hear it consistently.
Yeah, with everything that happened with Weinstein and that group, you know, and it's just that whole other side of it that he was, you know, involved in. Yeah, that we've. It's always been one of those known things that there's a darker side of Hollywood, and we just sort of like accepted it as it is and just moved on because it didn't impact anybody. But you have, you know, like I said, you know, everything with Harvey Weinstein. You even have a Corey, you know. Feldman talking about, you know, his history, and he had a documentary about it. So you do know it's there, and yes, you do want people to come forward, but at the same time, you don't want people to come forward crying wolf, like you said earlier, and it not really come to anything. If there's something wrong, yeah, we would like to see it happen and get it cleaned up, because if anything, we're already being hit hard enough in that industry right now because of, you know, the disease that will not be named.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, you know, we'll, so, you know, we're being hit there that way. But, you know, then to have, you know, internal strife and where there is no internal strife that we've seen yet, kind of always going to put that there right now. It's, you know, it's accusations. Nothing has come, you know, out. Exactly. Nothing really has even, I don't even think Whedon's camp has even said anything. So
nothing from them. Mostly people that that worked with him, like defending him, but like nothing from Whedon himself or anything, like either, you know, saying, hey, maybe I did something wrong or didn't, but just nothing. I mean, you know, it was great the first couple times we heard it, but I think it just needs to simmer down. You know, unless somebody comes out and says, hey, guess what? We found this.
Well, I do know Warner Brothers has attorneys on investigating all this. You know, they're looking into this and they want to. And I've heard some rumors that the investigating attorneys tried to talk to Fisher and he wouldn't talk to them. It's like, okay,
that's a problem.
Yeah, I was like, okay, wait a
second. There's your first red flag.
I mean, if you're
the guy who accuses is not talking. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it just, there's a lot of that stuff is still being kept under wraps. So I think we're just getting pieces and parts of it. But it's just that the dangers of social media will always be that.
And media in general, to be honest, you know, not just social media in general right now. It's just, you know, it's really, just really out of control.
Well, social media to me is more concerning because there's no barrier. I can just post whatever
that is, that's
I want.
The worst, anybody, that, that's the worst one, but media as
yeah, know, in general, yeah. But I'm just saying to me, in general, yeah, but just, to me, just, there's something more worse about social media because there is no boundaries. I can just post whatever I want, and then guess what? If I'm somebody famous or a celebrity, everybody's going to just grab what I say and go, oh my God, you hear what he said?
Well, if they actually did do that, then, you know, that's a free publicity for us. So, and if you wanted to go ahead and do that, then,
okay, yeah, we'll be working
on that. I appreciate
that.
That would help the numbers. I can make a rumor up.
So what do you have next?
What do I have here? No, I got it here. Sorry, guys. I'm like trying to scroll through. It kind of left me. Oh, what do you think about Felicity Jones thinking that she has unfinished business in Star Wars? I kind of think it's kind of like, you know, this is basically saying, hi, I want a job in Star Wars again.
Well, guess what? That's what actors do. And I can see.
Because,
I mean,
to me, it's like,
you got
to
realize
she put it like, well, Felicity, she's saying that Jenna Urso has unfinished business. No, Felicity Jones has unfinished business in Star Wars. That's what that tells me. Because to me, Jenna Urso's story is over.
It's over, yes, but what about before that? What happened before that? Where was she, you know?
I was like, we already got it. We got it in Rogue One. Remember how you always say, like, you don't want to see too much of somebody's beginning story? We saw in that movie, had like little clips here and there where she's a kid.
Okay,
grew up a little
let
bit.
Let me ask you a question. You're a Star Wars fan, okay. All right? What if you got offered a role in a Star Wars film?
I'd say yes.
Okay, but your role is one time only, and it's done. You're done with it, but you deep down want more Star Wars in your life as that character. That's pretty much what these folks are. These are Star Wars fans chance. So I don't know. Just the, an actor looking for a job isn't always just an actor looking for a job. It's an actor that could be passionate about the character and the role and what they felt that character added to the universe. And like, I would love to revisit that. They all would. You know, you've heard Mace Windu. You know, Samuel L. Jackson definitely wants to revisit Mace.
I'm sure he does.
You know, everybody. There's a lot of those folks that, because they were, like us, brought up on Star Wars.
And I guess it depends on the character, too. But I think Jin's story's over. I mean, I don't want to know about Jin in the beginning. When she's a smuggler on the run. I mean, I don't find that interesting. Well, I found the story in Rogue One interesting. Her before this, I don't. Who was the other guy? He's getting a series with this guy.
Cassian Andor.
Cassian Andor, that's interesting. I want to see that. I don't want to see Jyn Erso.
But how do you know that her story's not just as involved? That's all.
For right now, for what it is, I don't want to see it.
It's okay.
That is dumb. And if my Star Wars character dies in the movie, I'm not going to be coming back to George to plead for a job. Jeff, you want a job?
You know, please, we got a role for you.
Well, no, you'd have to go back to your villain of all villains, Kathleen Kennedy, to beg for that job. So good luck with that one, because I've got recordings.
No, it's okay.
Speaking of things that I really didn't want, but we're still going to get Justice League. You know, we are still looking at getting Justice League. I think that story was done. It was done poorly, but we move on. But apparently not. But there is a box office analyst who believes that WB is making the Snyder Cut to keep Zack Snyder on the side. To keep him from getting out there. I mean, why would you spend $70 million on a film that flopped to do a second? This has never happened. All right. Yes, there was a big outcry, but there's been a big outcry for other movies in the past of how poorly things were done. But to spend $70 million, enough to make two low-budget movies, three low-budget movies.
It could be three or four.
You know,
if you're Blumhouse, yeah. You're making a trilogy.
But this is coming from a box office analyst who has a Capelli theory that this is what's happening, that they're getting him to go ahead and just do your thing, man. And it's keeping him off the – it's keeping him out there, or, you know, from going off and producing anything else. He's they're making him happy right now. It's just very strange, you know.
There is a new regime in the Warner Brothers film division now. I mean, I don't know. I can't say yes and I can't say no. I mean, I haven't seen what his Justice League is yet. I'm fascinated to see it in May, but I don't know. I mean, could it be? Yeah, it could.
It could save it, but it's still could. At the same point. We've never had this. We've never had this before. That
I don't want to get my hopes up because it just sounds to be too good to be true. And this analytical guy when he says it, but I can see it. But then again, I could say, hey, you know what? We just want you to finish your movie. But then again, I don't know.
It's your mustache twirling studio execs. Do you really think they want them to finish them making a movie? Don't you think they just say, let's move on to the next thing? I'm just saying I'm playing the devil's advocate to your theory, because you always bring up these folks, and to think they're not releasing it into the theaters. All they're doing is dropping it into.
Not much is coming to the theaters.
They're not. Well, I'm not about that. I'm just talking theater wise. They're not dropping it in the theaters to make more money. Their money's coming from subscriptions. Not getting any more subscriptions, probably. Maybe a few, but not $70 million worth or more to make a profit.
So what, are they going to put him in charge of HBO Max DC?
What? No, I just, why do you, where would you come up with? All I said was, they're saying, not they're making they're money.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with that, DC
but they're, you, when you release a movie, you make a movie, you expect a profit. You and I have talked about it. You know, you at least want double the profit or more. Do you think releasing it on a subscription service, they're going to make another $140 million?
I don't know. It depends how good the movie is.
Again, it's an interesting concept.
It is interesting.
That's a lot of subscriptions. You know, 140 million that subscriptions. All right, or $140 million worth of subscriptions, and the people that got it that have HBO are going to have HBO, because really that's where DC stuff is now anyway. So if you're a DC fan, you're going to get it. If anything, they might get a small boost during the month leading up to. In the month of, you know, maybe for like a 3 month, they get a boost. I think their running price is like $14 a month for
is
their.
Is it still 14?
Yes, yeah. I think mine's like 13 something because I got it at a discount, but I still have to pay taxes, which makes me scratch my head whenever I have to do it. But
America. So.
No, I don't pay any taxes on any other subscription service, just HBO. I have no idea why.
Really?
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. I'm on $11 plan, $11.95 or something like that, but my charge is 13 something. I was like, okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But it's worth it. It is worth it. I mean, for you as a Doctor Who fan, dude, they have all the Doctor Who episodes on there. Now they have all the DC stuff on there. They're releasing new DC stuff as we're, you know, speaking. They just dropped the new Titans series the Titan series new to DC, also, you know, Young Justice series. So everything's getting out there now. And then, of course, you know, they're getting ready to, you know, drop. We've got, you know, the news about what came out last week, which we all knew if anybody had watched DC fandom was the introduction of Red Hood. So, and then.
Yeah, finally got our first look at it.
What did you think of that?
I think I posted a picture of Jensen Ackles, his cosplay as Red Hood, side by side with the guy who's playing Red Hood in Titans. Kind of similar.
Oh, it's Red Hood. How much different can you get? You just have to have the red hood with the little weird lines on the face and a
brown leather jacket.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not difficult.
It's not a hard cosplaying, all right? I just put it on there just to be it.
I know, because you're a Jensen fan, so, you know.
Jensen fan, I like Red Hood.
You're one of the Winchester boys.
Uh-huh, forever, man. Room for life. Three more episodes left, kids, and that's it.
Yeah, Swan Song.
Swan Song. Actually, no, Swan Song was season 5. This is the long road home. Well, that's the last episode, November 19th, I think. But you should check it out. It's been pretty good. Like, it's the tension is definitely building.
I'm done with it. It became a Home Improvement episode for me when.
How dare you!
Every episode of Home Improvement has the same formula. Tim comes in, makes it,
by the way, the Hero Sound Podcast
right,
at Gmail.
Right here, guys. Send it to me because I will prove you're right.
The Venom's gonna come.
That's fine.
You have just alienated a lot of people.
Supernatural is so formulaic, it is a Home Improvement episode. Home Improvement always had Tim making a comment about something, saying something stupid, messing up something, or one of the boys messing up something, them going over to the fence and talking to Wilson explaining to them how to fix it, them misconstruing what he said and making things worse, and then the mom or whoever they hurt gets apologies at the end. Same thing with Supernatural. It was the same formula. Brother keeps a secret, lies to the other brother all season long. At the very end, why did you lie to me? They get all pissy with each other, and then one of them dies or vanishes. And then the cycle starts over again. Sorry, so formulaic. I think after season 8, I had to stop. I was just like, this is just way too much. So that's why I stopped watching.
You know where to contact
me. Oh, no, the ones that would contact me. I've already had that conversation with them before. Sure, you're not the first one. Again. Oh, no, that's fine. So a conversation actually you and I had before that we never I was kind of curious. I didn't get an answer. You didn't because you didn't have an answer. But we were talking about, of course, you were just talking about the Justice League, getting redone and everything. But the Suicide Squad airs cut. There's you and I always had that. We were to like, did they film the scenes that when we did our movie watch along, guys, if you go back into the Midnight Movie Archive. You'll hear us do Suicide Squad watch along, and halfway through, as we're watching, I was kind of surfing, and I stumbled across an old Twitter feed from David Ayers, the director of Suicide Squad, the original one, not the Suicide Squad, sorry, Suicide Squad, and he had said that somebody asked him a question, and he said, "No, the original movie was supposed to be a direct tie-in to the Justice League movie with Steppenwolf." And that, it wasn't the Enchantress that had gone all magical crazy. It was, or she had, but it was like Steppenwolf was controlling her and it wasn't her weird brother. And when you look at her brother in the movie, he looks very similar. He's got the really weird horns like Steppenwolf does. The faceless putties that you saw running around the villains, those were supposed to be parademons. So this was all in there. And he said apparently after he got done shooting a lot of it, this is what the article I just saw today was. They've actually shot this stuff. They had to go back for reshoots, and you and I talked about it, but we didn't have for sure information. And they did have this where
so it was shot. It wasn't just storyboard.
He was made to go back and do reshoots to fix and make them. Everything, because what had happened, it seems the negative response that they had gotten from Superman v. Superman or Superman versus Superman.
Superman v. Superman.
Yeah, we have seen that one. That was but Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, apparently the negative response and the success of Deadpool sent Warner Brothers into a panic. And Ayers explains major elements of my cut were ripped out before I could make the edit. So they were shot. And then they went back and did it. And he also reveals that the comic book writer Jeff Johns wrote pages the director was forced to reshoot, making this the second movie the Doomsday Clock scribe has gotten involved in, because we've heard just things of Jeff Johns getting involved in other movies and correcting those. So that's it's kind of interesting. So it looks here from what he was saying, that the first 40 minutes were pretty much spot on. That's him. And then it was that the rest was just ripped to pieces and then put in there. So we may actually have, if they continue pushing like they did with the Zach cut, Ayers has started it when we found out Zach got approved, a big underground swell came up about his cut. And if we can get that, I mean, if they're willing to spend $70 million on this, Justice League cut, why not toss him, a little bit and he's already filmed everything. It's not like he's having to go back.
Okay,
and reshoot.
So that's the thing I was going to ask. All the stuff is filmed.
That's what he said. He said that.
So it's not storyboard, because we were talking a couple weeks ago.
Well, that's why we didn't know. Yeah, we didn't know. We were spitballing. And apparently, according to this, it says Major elements were cut, were ripped out before I could mature the edit. So, I mean, if you're in there at that point in edit, you've shot these things. So either he just has to edit it and then do the effects on it. So maybe $10 million to fix the effects and make them parademons and make that Steppenwolf. And we've got a new movie, a different movie, a twist to the movie.
You got a big, you had an entirely different movie.
Because that was the one thing when we got done talking about that, I posted a couple of things on our social media, and we had a few, you know, of our listeners, and they're like, no, that's the movie sucked, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, but put this in your idea. Put this, as you and I watched it, I was doing it. I don't know if you were, but
I was doing it too. I kept thinking, I was like, it's not a hard fix.
Yeah, that's not a putty. That's a parademon that's coming out. Yeah,
it's the easiest fix in the world if you're going to go on VFX and fix that, because literally it's nothing, and you could make it to something like really fast. You have Steppenwolf right there and her brother.
Yeah,
literally.
It's
just a swap.
Yeah, you just face swap it and everything's fine. But yeah, that was something that came out. Let's see, when did this drop? Today.
Oh, so it's recent.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if this Justice League recut does pretty well on HBO Max, I could see him doing it. I really could.
Well, if they do the recut and they fix it, they need to fix the lead-in. Because that was the lead-in movie to Justice League. Because it explained where Steppenwolf came from. Unless Zach's going to do that and fix that part of the story and make it.
I don't know. I mean, you did just say a little couple minutes ago, like, why are they keeping him around?
Yeah.
Maybe it's to help out with those reshoots for Suicide. I mean, not reshoots for Suicide Squad, but.
Well, they don't need him. They can just get.
I don't know. Maybe David. He's there.
Get David. Yeah. It's his film.
Poor David.
Zach doesn't need to put his own pinky toe in everything.
Well, yeah, they did kind of coordinate
for a little bit. Yeah, for some of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So get there to help him out. Yep. It is interesting though, how all these director's cuts are still out there. These movies that that came out were okay, but hey, I actually shot another cut. It's like Batman versus Superman. Like that's the first one. Like. Theatrical cut is garbage. Ultimate edition, to me, different movie. More Superman in that movie. More of the buildup. Like, makes him more angry. Like, in the original cut, you saw Superman like, oh, why do you hate Batman so much? What did he have? Like, an original cut, like 7 lines?
Ultimate edition, he has more to say?
I've seen
the Ultimate Edition so many times. I in my head.
It's more the original now.
It is the original to me because I don't remember what the original was because I've seen the other one so many times.
I bet if we saw the original, you'd be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, so I'm missing something. What's going on? So what else do you have?
That's all I got.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I mean, we're going to go ahead and throw up a spoiler alert real quick, guys. Spoilers! Kane and I have yet to talk about this. So we have talked twice this weekend and have yet to bring up The Mandalorian. So if anybody wants to bow out at this point, we thank you very much. If you haven't seen Mandalorian, see ya. We'll see you guys next week. Make sure you do check us out on the other shows that we have released this week. So, but for you that have seen Mandalorian and want to sit and listen and maybe throw us some stuff online later about it. We're going to go ahead and talk about this because, like I said, Kane and I, we have somehow, we have avoided talking about The Mandalorian all weekend. So
it's amazing we've done that.
I even yelled at Kane on Friday morning. I texted him. I go, hey, man, you seen it yet?
Yeah, no. He did. He actually woke me up. I was like,
it was 12:30 in the afternoon.
It was not 12:30. It was like 11 something.
Oh, okay. That makes it even worse. Sorry, guys. So I did. And then he proceeded to text message me every 5 minutes. Hey, dude, what's? And finally, I just told him, dude, just watch the fucking movie. Just stop talking to me.
Yeah, that's what I did. I got up. I just started watching it.
What'd you think?
I thought it was great. I think they're keeping on that same thing that they kept. It could be so easy when you do a season one of a show that's successful and be like, you know what? Oh, I want to make it big, a bombastic space wars. Nope. Kept the same way. If anything, they just elevated a little bit, got a little bit bigger. It's still basically what it is. I call it like an old timey Western thing. It almost reminds you of like Kung Fu. A little bit.
It is.
You got a guy going into town. He's seeing what's going on. Going to help the townspeople out. You're not battling to save the universe. You're battling to save the town. That's all you're doing.
It's your typical 70s, 80s television show. It's like, he's the A-team. I went to that. We were in this town. We saw somebody bad doing something. We're going to, we're the badasses, but we're going to help them out though. You know, we got a heart. The
only thing is, if you're a Star Wars sweaty, you go insane seeing this episode.
Like, yeah.
There's so many things that pop out like right away. I mean, the first thing you see Boba Fett's armor. Else.
No, well, not yet. No, that's only in the middle of the. No, first thing we're introduced that we have to go to Tatooine. We're told that there is a Mandalorian there. What's Tatooine like? I thought it was ran by the Hutts. No, they really delve into the history of it. We go back to visit the one lady, the mechanic lady from she was episode 6 or 7 last season. And the one that takes care of the child, and it's got the droids, the old droids from Roger. that's the nose bop one, the ones from the Clone Wars, but Phantom Menace.
So we get to
see those droids again, and we get to see R5, which I thought was awesome.
That was a nice little touch.
Beautiful touch for R5.
He's alive.
What's funny is that I don't know if you noticed it. But when they took and they flipped the camera around to the backside of R5, there's a burn mark right on his head. I was like, oh, okay, there we go. Nice.
They're keeping that continuity, man. I like that. Little touches like that.
That's all it takes.
Like that.
And then, of course, he has to go out to some, they show the world of Tatooine. They mention Mos Eisley's. They mention a lot of like things that we've seen before. Again, what like you were saying, it's like seeing an old Western. To me, it was like putting on an old pair of jeans. Like, I know this. I know this place. I'm back where I lie. I'm good. You're taking me someplace new, but I'm in something comfortable to get there.
Yeah, we're on Tatooine, but we're not Mos Eisley. What was the other? Was it Mos Pit or something? Mos.
Can't remember all of them.
Mos something. Yeah. I know there was a couple of different.
Yeah,
Mos.
There's a couple of different ones, and then we see him stop and talk to Sand People. That one I thought was pretty cool. He's talking to Sand because we saw him talk to Jawas earlier.
I think they mentioned that he had been on Tatooine before.
He had been because we already saw that.
It was like a little line like that. It was like, well, he'd been there before, so you knew if he'd been there before.
We already
of
seen
course
him.
He's going to learn how to
well,
talk.
Well, no,
to
we Jawas. Saw him there before from season 1 because that's how he met the lady.
Yeah.
So we already know that. That's where he went out and was hunting that other bounty hunter, the one that sniped him and took his took the other guy. So yeah, no, we already knew all of that. That's nothing new. But just to see him interact, we know he interacted with Jawas. Never seen him interact with Sand People, so we get to see him do his grunt squeal thing. with them.
That was kind of.
And then we finally get to the town, which basically, like you said, it's just an old Western town. You're just in the middle of nowhere. I think one of my heartwarming moments is when he was pulling up to it to see the moisture farm. Towers out there.
Yeah, that was cool.
Are they going to mention the Larses? That's how I was kind of curious if they something
that was their farm, right?
No. It was just that was the town they were pulling up to, or he was pulling up to.
Is he going to go inside? No.
That's why again, it was one of those things. It was comfortable. You've seen it before. But it wasn't the Larses' residence, but it was something like it. But I was like, well, maybe if they know the Larses, maybe they'll make comment about seeing something. And we remember back when the old farm set over there got that couple and their nephew got burnt up. You could have just
they burned to death. But I think we have their skulls here somewhere.
But then of course, then we get introduced to the Marshal. I think one of the. My favorite one so far this season, and I think he ranks up there as pretty cool character to introduce into.
It's just the actor too, man. He's just something about him. Timothy Oliphant, he basically plays Marshall from Justified in almost every movie, but it's still cool. Yeah. And now to see him in Star Wars playing that character, it's okay.
I think he's gonna work. We're definitely gonna see him for being a high profile actor.
I hope he comes back.
Yeah, I think really he'll be like the what I was saying, the Ugnaught that we had last season. Sorry, Karen.
Yeah, with what's
Gunk
name,
or really? Whatever his name was. But yeah, I think he'll be like one of those characters that we're going to see again. He may have to go back because of what we saw at the very end of the show, but he may have to go back to Tatooine for something. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen him leave Tatooine, so we know at the end of this episode he's still there. So I'm assuming next episode he's still going to be on Tatooine, and maybe we'll get an answer to what we saw, but. But yeah, just the interesting journey that he took, had the townsfolks have to become friends with the natives, basically. Like you said, you know, it's a Western, you have the townsfolks and they have to become friends with the sand people. I love the, I can't remember the name of the buffalo creatures that they have out there. You know, so this is some of the characteristics that they put on that. And then of course we had the bastardized, sandworm.
Yeah, it's basically what it was.
That well, apparently we were told killed what we thought was one of the baddest creatures in the universe, a Sarlacc.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't said that that's what happened, but it was implied. So
it was implied, yeah, like,
you know, what
pit is empty, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, no, nothing can. Why would the Sarlacc leave, or who could kill it? Well, maybe something ate it, or I think is how he put it. Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, well, we can go with that. That tells you how bad of a creature that thing is, and what a massive creature.
Cool creature too, man. I'm not sure what they call it, just sandworm, but I guess. I mean, they'll call it the Star Wars name soon, but. Really cool look for it. I mean, like I said, I love it. You get the townspeople team up with sand people. They go fight it, kill it. And then, of course, you know, the marshal at the end, he's like, okay, you won the bet. Here you go.
Yep.
Because the first thing we see is when he has the Boba Fett armor on, he's like, where did you get that armor?
Yeah.
First thing out of his mouth, where did you get that armor?
And we see where he got it. We see what happened to him. We see the Jawas pick him up and that he's only got like one piece of like gold or whatever, you know, to pay for something, and he just points to the armor that's just sitting in the side, you know, just sitting there. No, my question to you though, was the worm spitting acid on them, or was it?
Yes.
Was it? Okay.
It was acid. Yeah. I was trying to figure that out too.
Cause I wasn't sure if they were like disintegrating or if they were what, cause I didn't see like burn marks or anything. It looked like they just
cause a lot of them got killed and it was like kind of an acid. He was like, we're getting killed, or he's picking us off one by one.
Okay. That's the only thing I wasn't too sure.
Yeah. He was picking them off, but. You know, great. I like the fact that he gets the armor in the end.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm taking these back. He's like, okay, take it. So I want to see where we're going to go from there now that he has Boba Fett's armor.
Yeah. Well, of course, we do see there's a hint of somebody. We assume it's Boba Fett.
Well, it is. That's Tamara Morrison there. So that you know that's him.
But or he's a clone. He's a clone.
Oh, that's right. So
Is that Boba Fett? Is this another amazing swerve coming from John Favreau?
Is it Jango Fett?
Well, no, Jango's dead. We already know Jango's dead. But we have the whole clone army that some of them are still alive. We know that because we know Rex was at the, you know, Battle of Endor. So it's one of those interesting things because they did a quick swerve on us earlier, you know, about Boba, you know, and then, okay, well, the armor. And then we see what looks like Boba. And so, you know, we all are saying it's Boba. But I'm here. I always, again, you know me, I like playing devil's advocate. What if that isn't Boba? What if that is
just a regular old clone?
Just a clone that's there for something else. Because remember, there's still that rumor running around like mad. We still haven't gotten proof because every website I've seen in the last weekend are the BS websites saying that.
Yeah, some of them are. Yeah, I read of some of those sites. Yeah. I thought they were giving them some kind of credit.
Yeah, no. They're all until I see it coming from like a legit website I know of, every single one of them have come from the handful of sites I know are full of it. And they're just feeding our frenzy, you know. And
feeding the fire, like, yeah, it's really him. I'm like, I don't know.
But I mean, it could, yeah, again, it could be him, but again, they were talking, it wasn't what they were talking about Boba. What they were talking about is, okay, it's proven Ahsoka's coming.
Yeah.
But we've always known that Ahsoka and the clone troops have had a very interesting relationship. So my thought
was, at least,
and this was kind of my theory beforehand, was that it would have been a clone trooper when I heard that the actor had gotten hired on. And then, of course, the rumor that Ahsoka was coming on. So I just, again, I'm just kind of up in the air. Well, we'll see.
It's 7 more episodes. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's interesting because the weapons of choice that were on his back weren't anything like something that you would consider Boba to carry. You know what I mean?
No, but it was cool that when he did use a scope, though. That was kind of cool. I like that.
But yeah, because he's holding on to the sniper rifle that the sand people use, and the thing that apparently is a toothbrush for the banthas. I guess they are now.
I guess
because I saw one of them brushing their teeth. I was like, oh, is that what you do with the other end of that? Okay. Is it the other end of picking in between their gums? Because the other ends had like a little point to it. But that was the Mandalorian. So got this coming Friday, folks. 8 episodes. You know, so make sure we enjoy them.
Yes, enjoy them while you can, because they're going to go by very fast.
Yes, they will.
Yeah. Like the boys did. The boys went while like done. So enjoy these 8 episodes.
But that is everything for us this week. Do you have anything to speak of? Or
nope, sir. That's it.
All right. Make sure you guys do check us out at our website at streamerslink.com/heroes_asylum for all of our links to our podcast shows, as well as our social media. We will be having a
What are we having?
We might be having a new change on our podcast system, but we'll get into letting you guys know more about that. But make sure you guys do get on there and let us know what you think about what we should be doing for the for our holiday movies.
Yep, we're starting to compile them now. Like I said, got 2 in mind, but you know there could be others. So if you guys have any suggestions, throw them in there. Throw them in that post, and hell, throw them on the page. Hell, message them to me. I'll take them. Take some steady inventory of whatever movies we're
doing. Yeah.
So just do that. I appreciate that. Got anything else?
No, that is it.
Oh, we're done. Twitter, Instagram at @TheHeroAsylum_podcast, and Instagram at @TheHeroAsylum. And from Mike, from me to you, get to the asylum.